Welcome back to Sports Out the Wazoo, sponsored by Capone's, located off of 454 West King Street, 265-1886. The number for some great pizza. We're hooking you up with great pizza at just 7 digits away. And also, we're going to be hooking you up with tons of stats and analysis from the NFL weekend, as it was another busy weekend. Some good games, some really bad games. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But one of the good games, at least from our perspective, was the Panthers being able to beat the Falcons, kind of split that season series, and also kind of launch them back into the playoff hopefuls category.
I tell you what, if they would have won last week, if D'Angelo wouldn't have fumbled that football, the Panthers
would be... Where would they be now?
The Panthers would be the hottest team in football. They're winners of 4 out of the last 6, could have been 5 out of the last 6 if it wasn't for that fumble. And I tell you what, the way they played a complete game yesterday. Jake Delhomme, wow. That's all I can say. Quit hating on the guy.
I told you last week. Don't hate on him.
So you really
turning it around.
You think he's going to be the guy? You think he's going to be you just think he's okay for the year? What do you think about the guy?
Yeah, I think he's okay for the year. I said last week he looks like he's actually got it back together and he's going to be at least decent.
Last week he was still sailing balls.
I never have heralded him as anything better than what he is, Jake Delhomme. That's all you can describe him as. But either way, he's back to the old Jake now.
For one game. I want to see this for more than one game.
I saw
Brandon.
It last week.
It's not fair to crown him after one game.
He hasn't thrown a pick in over 3 games.
Because this is the thing for me.
That's the difference.
No, it is.
That's
it's
the
true,
difference
but you know what
in bad Jake and good Jake.
No, that's very true, but I'll say this. This is the first time that they actually let him run the full offense. The past 3 weeks, they have handcuffed the offense for him. So I congratulate him for what he did on Sunday, but do it for 2 or 3 more weeks consecutively, then I'll pat you on your back.
It started in the second half, though, of that game against the Saints that he started coming out. He came out of the second half firing immediately, and really it's transitioned all the way into this game.
I think he's 6 quarters of good football. He's back after 6 good quarters?
But it's because he hasn't thrown a pick in 3 games.
Okay, Matt Ryan at the beginning of the year was on fire. What happens? The past 5 games, he's thrown 10 interceptions.
Either way, who is this guy?
Look at the
guys that just run offenses. Matt Ryan is one of them. When he tries too hard, you see what he gets into. Joe Flacco, another one of those types of quarterbacks. He's a system quarterback. Jake Delhomme has adapted. Much like a pitcher, when he's down, when he gets older and he doesn't have the speed to put away hitters, he has to find his location.
I don't think it's fair to say
better.
That after 6 quarters.
I think Jake Delhomme has done that.
I don't think it's fair to say it after 6 quarters.
I think it is because for the simple fact that the Panthers
what
have been
do you
able
say
to
next
win
week when he flops?
Six.
What do you say next week when he flops?
If he flops, I mean, he has a bad game. But, I mean, if it's... Jay Cutler.
So that's just him having a bad game. Throw it away.
Jay Cutler, didn't he just have a bad game? 5 picks. You think he's over?
He's had every game has been a bad game for Jay Cutler.
And not every single game.
My problem is Jake Delhomme's played 6 good quarters of football and you're ready to say he's back. That's not fair.
I'm saying, yeah.
There's no context for that.
How is it not fair? I'm not saying that he's Peyton Manning. I'm saying he's back to what he normally was.
There's 9 games on the year and he's played 6 good quarters. Congratulations. You're a good quarterback after 6 quarters in 9 weeks?
He's played more than that, but it's been inconsistent. The thing that I'm trying to point out to you is not that it's just because of 6 quarters. I'm saying that over the past 3 to 4 weeks, he's been more consistent. It hasn't been throwing...
Because they haven't opened up the offense.
Yeah, but no, it hasn't been throwing 300 yards, then throwing 70 yards and 4 picks. Throwing 300 yards, throwing 70 yards,
because they've
picks.
Limited the offense. They've limited the play calling.
Well,
it's simple.
The thing is the run game's finally taken off. The offensive line has really started to get better. Jordan Gross is obviously out now, but either way, the offensive line has been better. They've been able to run the ball, and it's been able to open up the passing game, and I think that's why I say Jake Delhomme is back to where he needs to be.
I just don't think it's fair after that short period of time. You got to have some more context. I'll agree with you if he does it for 1 or 2 more weeks consecutively. I don't think it's fair after one great game all year, that's all he's had, and you say he's arrived. I don't think that's fair. They do win, though, 28-19, and really credit Jonathan Stewart and the offensive line because they came up with a big play at the end of the game that sealed the victory for the Panthers, and the Panthers now at 4-5 in the year. I'm going to say, and this is apart from Jake Delhomme, because of the defense and the running game and the offensive line, I say the Panthers make the playoffs as a wild card. Are you buying that?
I'm still not sold on it. I say that they finish either 7-9 and 8 or 8-8. One of those two. But I just don't, I know 7-9 is not going to be good enough. It's just not. It's not going to be good enough. But 8-8 could in this year. I think it will be good enough to get.
So you think they go 3-4 down the stretch?
I think so. Yeah.
But you're saying Jake Delhomme's arrived, but they go 3-4 down the stretch. There's a disconnect there. I just don't agree with that.
No, it's because they play a much tougher schedule. Right now, they're playing the Falcons, who are down. They're playing the Saints, who really aren't as good as they should be.
They're 9-0. They're a good team. What are you talking about?
We've had this discussion plenty of times before. They don't have a good defense. They nearly lost to the Rams. Do I need to say
enough? But they're winning. Their record's still 9-0.
Lost to the Rams.
The record's still 9-0.
Enough said. Case closed.
You're bashing a team that's 9-0.
Yeah. I'm saying they're not as good as their record is. Okay, you're saying they're going to win the Super Bowl? You're going to crown them? You're going to crown them right now?
I told you at the beginning of the season they're going to win the NFC South.
Yeah, they're going to win the NFC South. They're up by
five
games.
They'll be there in the NFC Championship game will be Vikings-Saints. You can cash that in, take that to Vegas. That's going to be it.
Yeah, they're not going to win the Super Bowl. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but how is a team 9-0 not that good?
I'm not saying that they're not that good. I just said they're overrated. That's all. And I said, so the Panthers' schedule, either way, has played out a little bit easier as of late. Now, of course, they still have easy games. They still have a game against Tampa Bay, which should be a win. Dolphins, Jets, those could be toss-ups, but I still think that those are wins. But against the Giants, I don't know. I just don't see how they – I don't like the way they pair up. The Vikings have a defense that's very similar to Saints, so I could see how that could go either way, just like the game against the Saints did. And then also, I see them losing to the Patriots, and really down the stretch, they have some tougher games.
People would have said that they would have rolled over for the Saints if you would have talked to them 3 weeks ago and they played that team to the wire, were in a position to win that game. I don't buy that. I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid.
They have a lot of work to do. It's not going to just be about them.
No, it's not about them.
It's going to be about other teams rolling over, basically, and also beating very good teams.
And this is why I say that the Panthers
have the toughest schedule in the NFL.
Listen, this is why I say the Panthers make the playoffs as a wild card. Philadelphia, they're up and down every week. You never know. I think they win the wild card, but you never know what you have in them. The Giants have lost four in a row. You look at down in the NFC North, Green Bay, awful. They're 5-4. But how are they 5-4? They're the worst 5-4 team in football. They've given up 40 sacks on Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is pathetic.
You're saying Jake Delhomme's not back to where he needs to be, but somehow the Panthers are going to make the playoffs. They're going to leapfrog four or five teams.
They're going to make it 8-8
against this tough schedule.
I told you it's apart from him. The running game is where it needs to be. They have the number one pass defense in all of football. They were +2 in the turnover margin against Atlanta over the weekend.
The defense is there.
The defense is there. The offense is there, apart from Jake Delhomme. If they handcuff the offense like they have, this team has won 4 out of the last 6. There's a reason for that.
But when this running game goes without Jake Delhomme being able to pass, they're going to be able to go up against the better defense.
Yes, because they've won 4 out of the last 6. Have you been watching the football? The offense wasn't what it was before.
Who do they beat?
I don't have their schedule unfronted.
Okay, well, at least out of the Dolphins, the Jets, the Buccaneers, the Vikings, the Patriots.
They beat the Dolphins, they beat the Jets, they beat the Giants. I think they steal one against the Patriots or against the Saints.
And you just said the Patriots were one of the best teams in the league.
They are, and I think they steal one of those games is what I'm saying. You don't just pencil this out and say they lose.
I think the reason they
win the wild card, though, Brandon, Jay Cutler sucks in Chicago. Chicago's defense is one of the worst in football. Green Bay, what have they shown you that makes them think they're a wild card team? San Francisco, up and down every other week. And then that's it. That's all the NFC teams. Who else? Tell me who's going to win the other wild card other than Philadelphia.
Well, no, that's the thing, though. But it's gridlocked right there. So the Panthers said they don't get in.
So who is it? Who is it that gets in if they don't get in?
I don't know. That's the key. How tough is the NFC right now?
It's weak. That's why I think they get in.
Yeah, it's weak, but I just don't know that they can get to 8-8 and leapfrog all those other teams, because how many other teams are going to be at 7-9, 8-8 at the end of the season? There might be four of them.
We'll quit talking football about the garbage NFC conference in general. You move over to the AFC, that's where the power teams are. One of the teams that I've been a big fan of, I told you we're going to make the playoffs at the beginning of the year. You doubted me. You've since hopped on the bandwagon. Cincinnati, and now at this point in the season, they are 5-0 in the AFC North. One win away from sweeping the AFC North. Who would have believed that after a huge win, shutting down the Steelers at Heinz Field on Sunday?
Yeah, and they've been able to win both games against the Steelers, which I think is probably their biggest hurdle that they've had to climb over. You know, if you're going to be one of the premier teams, one of the better teams in the AFC, you got to be able to beat the good teams in your division, especially the Steelers, the defending Super Bowl champs. But either way, they also beat them at Heinz Field for the first time in forever, I believe. Like, the first time since they almost started that organization.
I think it was 2003, perhaps.
Yeah,
it might have been longer than that.
Yeah, it's been a very long time, and really since they were in the playoff contention, since they were in the playoffs last, that they've really been this good. And they're just led. Right now, I think the biggest key, though, it's not necessarily how Carson Palmer's playing. He's always been a good quarterback. He's just been banged up.
He's always been a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah,
he's just
been banged up or had bad offensive lines. I think it's the run game. They have a legitimate run game for the first time in a long time, maybe since Rudy Johnson or before.
And I told you this about a month ago. It's not even the running game as much as the offensive line. In my opinion, they have one of the top 5 offensive lines in all of football right now, and they're opening up huge running lanes because, you know what, at the end of the day, Cedric Benson, he has worked hard. He is a better running back this year. But you could plug a lot of different running backs back there, and you'd get the same production from
what it's kind of like the same thing that the Panthers are doing. Yeah. D'Angelo, but obviously D'Angelo's a
better provides a little bit
running back.
Spark,
but yeah, absolutely, yeah. If you have a great offensive line, you know, you can put anybody back there really, and they'll be able to pick up some good yardage.
Speaking of anybody, they're talking to Larry Johnson, apparently recently released from the Kansas City Chiefs. He was put on waivers. Nobody claimed
him. Which is weird because Cedric Benson's, I mean, he's doing it all. I don't know why you'd...
I think it's not as weird from a production standpoint as much as it's weird from a character standpoint.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Is
why are you bringing this guy...
You've got a history of character issues, and then you're going to bring this guy after all of this?
And not even that as much as you've got something great going right now. Why are you plugging somebody else in here and trying to come in and mess that up? I don't buy that.
And his own team didn't even want him. They were willing to just cut all that salary. Who knows how much salary the Chiefs are eating. This was the franchise player. This was the guy that was going to be the face of the franchise. And look where he's at now. They don't even want him. They want nothing to do with him. He wanted out of Kansas City. He's washed up, really, in my opinion. I do not think he's the player that they need.
But all in all, some good games in the afternoon. The game of the week, the game of the night, last night, Pats-Colts.
Thriller.
We all know my fondness for Tom Terrific and Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
God.
Love them as an organization. Not really my team, but I respect what they do. I was fully expecting the Patriots to win by, in my estimation, 2 to 3 touchdowns. They had that set up last night. And then in the final 7 minutes of that game, it all came unglued. The proverbial train came off the track. It was really bad, but... Brandon, it all boils down to this. 4th and 2 on your own 28-yard line, and you decide to go for it. Wow. That's all I can say is wow.
Well, and that's Bill Belichick really trying to trust his offense too much. And really, I mean, I saw what he was doing. If you get the first down, the game's pretty much over.
You know what?
But
but
either way, the risk, I think the risk outweighs the reward any day. And I don't see the sense in that.
This is the first time he's blown a lead in the fourth quarter in 13 years as a head coach. That's remarkable in itself.
It's the first time that he had a 13-plus lead in the fourth quarter and lost ever in his career.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Ever in his coaching career.
The thing that really stands out to me, though, not that he went for it, because I wasn't shocked that he went for it. That's Bill Belichick. That's the Tom Brady and Patriots offense that we all know. They're that ballsy. They think that they can pick stuff up like that. The thing that stood out to me, though, they didn't get it. If you go for that, you got to get it. And to throw that, this is what really shocks me. For Tom Brady to settle for that check down route, when it was right on the first down marker, you got to know you got to get past that. You got to know you got to go 2 or 3 yards past
that. If
it's
4th down and 2, go for 3-plus yards.
Yeah.
Don't go for 2 yards and then hope to get it, because anything can happen in that. And you saw the receiver bobble the ball, and then by the time he had possession, he was back behind the first down marker.
I'll say that. You could have challenged that had it had been before 2 minutes or had you had a timeout. The Patriots didn't have any timeouts left. That came before the final 2-minute warning, so there was no way to challenge it. They were caught in no man's land. That's another situation where if you're Bill Belichick, you got to know if something goes wrong, I either can't challenge it or I need to get it beneath 2 minutes to where the officials up top can challenge.
Well, here's why it was a bad call. In the first place is that Colts offense had the momentum. So you don't want to give
They had one touchdown. They had thrown 3 interceptions.
No, but they had things going. They had things going, much like the Patriots had it going throughout the whole game.
He had a touchdown the drive before. The drive before that, he threw an interception. I wouldn't say he had momentum, but yeah. it's Peyton Manning. He can
do anything.
It's
Peyton Manning in the clutch, and obviously he's going to outperform just about anybody. Tom Brady, very good in the clutch as well. But either way, you don't want to give an offense that seems to have a momentum. They have something going for them. They're behind. They have their home crowd behind them, and you want to give a team with a quarterback, the stature of Peyton Manning, and with all that talent and how he was able to lead his team down the field when they're down by 2 scores, and you want to give him a short field, that's why it was a stupid call. If it was at the 50-yard line, okay, I could see it. Maybe or inside Colts territory. All right, I absolutely say go for it. But, I mean, they're at their own 28-yard line. You turn it over, they only have 28 yards. They have 2 minutes of time to run off. To get in 7 points, that was way too much time. Peyton Manning didn't even need it all.
In my opinion, if you punt that ball, you win. It's that simple. Because obviously the Colts, they did some things trying to run down the clock at the end of the game, but it is Peyton Manning. But you got to make it difficult on him, and I think the Patriots.
And that's my point. You got to make it difficult. But I almost think that Bill Belichick almost felt in his gut that it wasn't so much everybody was saying, well, he's trusting the offense too much, or he didn't trust the defense. I almost think that he just didn't trust the defense being able to go up against Peyton Manning.
I don't buy that. He is not scared of anybody. I don't buy that.
No, here's the deal. I think he thought, all right, really, if we don't get this, Peyton Manning, I mean, he is spectacular at 2-minute drives. Jake DeLome had a run with 2-minute drives. Peyton Manning knows how to manufacture these drives into game-winning touchdowns, and he's done it all
Bill
his career.
Bill Belichick has never coached scared in his life, not once. I don't care if he was coaching for the Browns
He wasn't
or the
coaching smart last night.
No,
that's
he wasn't coaching smart, but I don't think that you can say that he coached scared. I don't think you can draw that deduction.
Well, but I almost don't think you can say that he coached to go for the offense there when you're at their own 28. I just there's no common sense there. There's no thread that says, okay, well,
there
offense
is a thread
is doing great.
Because their offense is virtually unstoppable
most
times.
Yeah, but my point is that no offense, no matter how mighty it is, I don't think in any situation with any offense, almost against any defense, do you ever go for it on fourth down and two at your own 28-yard
line. I'm not justifying it. I just think it wasn't based out of fear. I will say this. I think if it was fourth and six, fourth and eight, they might have gotten it. They had a better chance of getting it. I think the fourth and two, with their playmakers, the way that they spread the field, fourth and two, I think short in the field, and I think it made it much more difficult on their offense. I think that's why we struggled there. There's another game tonight, Browns-Ravens. Who cares? We got to go to a break. More action coming up next on Sports Out the Wazoo. I'm kidding you. If there are Browns and Ravens fans, good luck. But it is going to be a snoozer.
Well, I mean, at least the Ravens are a quality team. But
I'm not going to be watching.
As far as
the
Browns, not so much.
NBA action should be on tonight. I'll be keeping track of that. Speaking of the NBA, the Bobcats made a huge trade. We'll talk whether it's good enough to get them into the playoffs or not. It's more Sports Out the Wazoo coming up next, right here on 90.5 WASU FM online, WASURocks.com.